This NFL round two prop bets and NBA playoff best bets edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, golf, MLB, MMA, NHL, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
What's up, guys? This is Carson Steele. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, second the Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
It kind of looks like you have one of those like night things that they would wrap over their horse over your head when you're ISO'd. It looks like you just have an SGPN. I don't know, horse cloth. What do you call those things?
I don't know. You're the horse expert, Ryan.
I'm not a horse expert. Okay. I'm a digital horse expert.
Oh, digital. Yep. Yeah. You don't know anything about analog.
No horses. Erections in that game.
Yes. No longer did not take home the most accurate mock drafter title.
How are you feeling?
I feel good. I mean,
feel like a loser?
No. Okay. No, because I beat you. But so that felt good.
What was the final score?
I'll have to pull it up, Ryan.
The greatest in the world versus a mere mortal. And if I didn't get cued, I beat you.
That's the thing.
Some are saying I let my personal, this is no different than the 50% ownership of Dan Jones.
I beat you by one. So
yep,
it was a fun,
I would have won.
I also tied Daniel Jeremiah. So yeah, it's still a pretty good score. I mean, again, didn't have obviously Brock Bowers going to the Raiders, hit on that at 66-1. That was a sweet long shot. Basically, made it a profitable draft in spite of all my other draft long shots that have not come home. Although we still have a couple draft long shots out there, Ryan, that are still live.
I was thinking, and producer Josh is going to have to start tracking this for us. But if we were ever going to have an award show, it would have to be things like best bet won this year. So Kyle Juszczyk happened this year. We now have the Raiders tight end.
Add that to 66-1.
So we're accumulating some fun. Some fun banks.
I'm just mad I didn't have more on it, but still at 66-1, made it a nice, you know, check the old account. Very nice to see those numbers.
I do also have an announcement. I never shared this with anyone, but it turns out that this totem's name the entire time was named Malik. So I want everyone to welcome Malik to
Malik
the family.
Neighbors.
No, just Malik.
Oh, okay. Malik.
But he is in the neighborhood. So coincidence, I think not.
Ryan's drinking that Malik Kool-Aid.
Jake, I'm sure, is already thinking up fun, Mr. Rogers, Malik Neighbor, t-shirt idea. Got to lean into the neighborhood idea. I can't figure out what it is, and then maybe there's a gun involved, like a little Easter egg.
Oh well, there certainly is. If you know Malik Neighbors, well, you don't want to go to the side of his neighborhood, Ryan.
Well, absolutely not. He learned from that mistake, and he's actually moved forward. Love his competitiveness. Love his drive. Watched a lot of highlights, Sean. I will say, I'm not scared to watch, look across the aisle. Quinion Mitchell, good player. I don't know if you've already watched the multiple highlights of him shutting down Ricky Pearsall in the Senior Bowl. Those were fun, making him look stupid. But yeah, I would, if you want to have some fun, I would check out Malik Neighbors. It's,
Certainly slippery as he the charges for his concealed weapon on Bourbon Street weren't able to stick for some reason. The charges got dropped. So congrats to you and your low character organization.
Shane did say in the presser that they saw the tape of the incident and they're good with it. They watched the game. They watched the tape. They're good.
I mean, we still have to talk more about the Atlanta Falcons making the The insane decision to draft Michael Penix. Now, maybe the decision to draft Michael Penix.
Don't give out your grade. We will be doing full draft grades episode on Sunday. So just without saying your actual grade.
Well, it's tough because I do like Michael Penix, and I think he might fit well in that system with those guys. But you don't pay Kirk Cousins $90 million and then draft Michael Penix at number eight. What, you didn't know Michael Penix wasn't going to be available at eight? Have you not looked at a fucking mock draft? Like, what in what world did you not think Michael Penix was going to be available at eight and that you had to pay Kirk Cousins? Okay, maybe you think Michael Penix isn't ready to start right away. That's kind of weird because one, he's super experienced. Two, he's a guy you almost have to start right away because he's older. He has the injury history, and you bring in Kirk Cousins as a mentor. Like, this doesn't, it makes no sense at all. I mean, at least the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love not starting. Okay, fine, that makes sense. But man, nothing about that made sense. And the Falcons think they're a good team. They're not good.
Jordan Love is 25 right now.
Yeah. How old's Michael Penix, right?
What do you think?
I think he's 24 or 25.
He's 23. But 23. But his birthday, get this, Sean, in 2 weeks he'll be 24. May 8th. So he's basically 24. Malik Nabers, Sean, for reference, is 20. But yeah, I think you nailed it. There's the roster construction piece that's confusing. There's the like the championship we're a quarterback away piece, which is confusing. And there's the locker room of all these vets who are like, yeah, we're one piece. So we got the quarterback. We get a couple defensive pieces. We'll be good. Nope. We're gonna get our quarterback. We're gonna get our quarterback of the future who's gonna play his first snap when he's 27. I my commentary on social media this morning was if only Brandon Whedon was given the opportunity.
I saw someone saying don't, you know, the Falcons are in contention for Spencer Rattler to take over for when Michael Penix is done. I mean, it's just insane. It was bonkers, and you pissed off Kirk Cousins because he was blindsided. His agent even said, like, yeah, we got no heads up on this. I mean, you paid Kirk Cousins $90 million. You're getting a top 10 talent. Give them something to build around this Kirk Cousins led team, whether D line, offensive line, even using another skill position player, which they've done a ton of already. Fine. Just anyone to help Kirk Cousins win in the next couple of years.
I would say I'm impressed at how many Falcons fans there are. Didn't know there were so many.
They got to be so pissed.
They're uniting. I think they should learn from the Panthers fans in last year. Set up a peaceful protest outside the stadium. Ownership will listen, and they'll trade up to the end of the third round for a receiver that no one expected to go in the first round.
All right, Ryan. So we'll do our full draft grades, but we're going to give out a couple draft props here for round two, and then get to NBA best bets with Scotty Rochelle in just a second. So
Scotty,
Ryan, a couple draft props. Now we do have some live still as well for safety to go off the board. We got two plays on that still alive. Houston Texans to draft a tight end with their first pick. That is still alive at 50-1. I'm going to add on to
real quick noting on the safeties. Kitchens is gone up. So you can get a bet. If you still want to double down, you want to go a little heavier on it. It's up to 20-1. I think we loaded up on 16-1. So,
Yeah. So certainly safety market wide open. And again, the long shot stuff is where things get interesting, especially in the second round. Like, who knows? I will also take Houston Texans first pick linebacker at 10-1. I think there's interest in this linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper, who they brought in. He's a local kid. I think he could fit that Texans defense. And again, they did a lot of stuff for the offense in the offseason. Linebacker for D'Amico Ryans, to me, is not crazy at all. Texans don't pick for a while. A lot of things could happen, but 10-1, I'm going to take that as well. So I'll have a small play on linebacker and tight end to go first for the Houston Texans.
So he is -120 to be the first linebacker.
Really? Because I got it. I'm going to give it out at +150. So shop around, right?
Oh, interesting. No, I don't have it. I'm bringing it more for reference on
So I do also like Edgerton Cooper to be the first linebacker at +150, but I also like Texans first pick linebacker at 10-1. Maybe hit both, maybe only hit one, but I do see them being interested in him.
So also worth re-referencing the running backs. Trey Benson still sitting at, you can find 280 out there. I know the Jerry Jones almost gave up where Jonathan Brooks is on their draft board, got people excited. Seems like it created a little steam on Benson, who's now -150 or steeper. But it also caused Marshawn Lloyd to have some crazy price variance, seeing as low as 420, as high as 10-1.
Yeah.
I think there's absolutely, when I saw the price come down, I thought it made sense. And I still don't think we know who the first guy off the board is. Running that back as well. I got a couple fresh ones. Spencer Rattler to be drafted in the second round is +180. I just watched six quarterbacks go in the top 12 picks.
Yeah.
And I think plenty of scouts who I feel like are sound and have a good process feel like Spencer Rattler should be in the top six, which tells me he's going to come off the board soon. I also think most people think there's a decent drop from Spencer Rattler to Michael Pratt from Tulane. And so whoever needs that quarterback, there suddenly becomes a bit of urgency. If you think Spencer Rattler is your guy, number of teams brought him in on a visit. Sean, you were telling me the Falcons brought him in on a visit.
Falcons 250-1 to take Spencer Rattler.
Are you with me though? Is that not feel like a lock to you at +180 that he goes in the second round?
Yeah. I mean,
I was trying to work it out. Cause it's like, I guess the idea that he's the only guy in his tier both helps him and hurts him.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of quarterback needy teams, even some surprise quarterback needy teams, aka the Falcons, did take quarterbacks in the first round. But to your point, he probably is the consensus number seven quarterback. You would imagine. Put that it this price way,
doesn't make sense.
What quarterback gets drafted ahead of him in the second round?
It's not. That's what I'm saying. Pratt almost certainly is not. So on
it's
the same
almost
level.
It's almost a bet. Will there be a quarterback drafted in the second round? Now, again, sometimes these teams know, hey, I can wait. I'm going to say just based off visits, based off making sense, you can bet on Spencer Rattler, what his the team that will end up drafting him. I'll fire off the odds here real quick, because I do think so. You look at some of the chalk stuff, Raiders +140, certainly interesting. Rams 5-1. I don't know. Giants 5-1. The Giants did bring him in. They still need a quarterback. That's interesting. Seahawks, same kind of thing where Geno isn't their guy long term. I'm going to go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 25-1.
Oh, interesting.
They brought him in. I could see him.
Kyle Trask era over.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're locked into Trask very much.
That's kind of a joke, but you know.
No, but I'm saying like, I don't. Baker is what? I mean, are they really that committed to Baker long term? Yeah, they gave him a deal, but a 1-2 year deal. Spencer Rattler, Baker Mayfield, what a dynamic quarterback!
I would say at this point, if you see a quarterback get signed for 4 years or less, that's a bridge contract. That's probably really a 2 year contract, right?
100%.
So those teams are still able to add a quarterback. Everyone will use the reference of Alex Smith. The Chiefs were paying Alex Smith on a decent contract when they drafted Patrick Mahomes and let Patrick Mahomes sit for a year, and it worked just fine.
Yes. Offensive assistant. I was reading compared Spencer Rattler to Baker Mayfield again. So if you like Baker Mayfield to the point that you're paying Baker Mayfield, I think some of that would translate to liking Spencer Rattler. Certainly at the price at 25-1 feels like a fun long shot. Cause I think, who knows where Spencer Rattler is going to go, right? Like if you're drafting a quarterback in the second round
or third,
or third,
if you disagree, if you agree with the odds, he's not going in the second.
So if you're taking a quarterback in the third round, you're not expecting him to start in the next couple of years. So I think it really opens itself to long shot stuff. I look through the teams that visited with him and the Bucks were on that list. He didn't have a ton of visits. I think 25-1 makes a bunch of sense.
Yeah.
So I've given out Edgerton Cooper, Texans first pick being linebacker. We already have tight end Ryan, Spencer Rattler to the Bucks. And then I am co-signing your Marshawn Lloyd at 10-1 first running back drafted. Who do we think is going to take him? Now, certainly the Cowboys being the Cowboys and taking Brooks early would blow this up, but I don't think it's that certain that you would lay juice for it.
I do think that part of what our bet requires is the running backs to fall. Now I don't.
Yeah.
When do the Cowboys pick? The Cowboys pick at 56. So you kind of have to draw a line there. That's the point at which do we think a running back could go ahead of them, and if so, which teams potentially? I know the Giants like both of those players that I mentioned. I don't think they're going to take one. I kind of don't think it's going to be before Dallas. I don't think it's a lock. Dallas likes Brooks the most. They've said way too much publicly about Brooks for me to believe it. They've been a very buttoned up organization around the draft of late, and they've actually been pretty good at drafting of late.
I'm slightly worried.
I don't think they're going to pull a donkey.
I'm slightly worried the Chargers go running back and take Corum way early.
His total is 83.5. So
Corum.
Yeah. So it, that they,
so maybe they take him in the third round.
Yeah. Which is mid third round. So,
all right. Any other draft props you want to give out, Ryan, for day two here?
No, I think, I mean, yeah, no, I think I'm good. I mean, most of the stuff I texted so many people who asked me, what should I bet on the yes. running back and safety props where it's, and even the Houston tight end prop,
yeah,
where it's
like all still alive.
And remind, you can still bet into the second tight end market. It's fluctuated. Sanders is now basically the favorite at +180.
Yeah. We got it at what? 3-1.
You still like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it at our price.
Wow.
Hashtag sharp.
We're sharps.
All right. Switching gears here. Going to talk NBA in just a second. Of course, Underdog Fantasy, perfect place to get over, get on some higher, lower Underdog Fantasy pick 'em. So fun. I mean, they really have some amazing markets, especially for NBA. I mean, first quarter points, obviously assists, rebounds. They have so many markets to play fantasy pick 'em, higher, lower. They got the spicy ones. If you really try to put together a spicy meatball, one of those 100-to-1 tickets, those are super fun. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Get the 100% deposit match up to $100. If you haven't signed up already, what are you waiting for? Underdog Fantasy. Joining us on the line, you know him from the NBA Gambling Podcast and the Tennis Gambling Podcast, Mr. Scott Reichel. Scott, looks like you got a haircut, huh? Looking sharp.
Yeah, thanks. It's a little bit warmer outside, so I didn't need the beard anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got rid of the beard. Play. He's all,
of course,
all
it's an
up.
Efficiency play. With Scott.
That's Scott.
Come on.
All he has is EV opportunity plays, getting a little hot. You gotta get the trim there, Scott. Any, before we get into NBA playoffs, I'm sure you were also watching the draft. Any big picture thoughts from day one of the NFL draft?
I feel like it's the same as most people. I don't know what Atlanta's doing. I feel like that's kind of the main shocker of the night. I forgot what Penix was to be a top. I think he was 17-1 to be a top 10 pick, and he was 85-1 to go to Atlanta, or like to be the eighth overall pick. I don't get it. I understand the argument of trying to copy the Green Bay model, but why would you pay Kirk Cousins for 4 years with a no trade clause if you're going to draft a quarterback anyway? And I feel like people aren't talking about this enough. The most underrated aspect of actual rookies is the rookie salary and the rookie contract. And if you're going to sit Penix for basically 4 or 5 years, because I don't see you benching Cousins unless Cousins gets injured.
Yes.
Then he's going to be your backup, and then you're going to pay him in free agency to start for you. I just don't see the vision there. I don't get it. Am I missing something?
It's no, so like, funny. It's like what we've done is we've gotten a room full of these Rubik's Cube experts that can solve it in 9 seconds, and we've given them fake Rubik's Cubes, and they're staring at it, and they're like, "What the?" Like, there's something wrong here. I can't figure it out. There's something wrong here. Why did the?
It's like the only explanation is they're idiots, because like the I mean, really, like the formula for this to work out perfectly for you is what? You have 2 great years of Kirk Cousins, and then you know enough to get rid of Kirk Cousins, but he's still got dead money on the cap. Like, at some point, this is going to look really bad. Now, maybe they get bailed out, and maybe Michael Penix is really good.
Have you heard the rumors?
What?
That potentially this doesn't seem logical to me, but that the tampering stuff can lead to the deal being voided. And Kirk Cousins, like, so
that would be insane.
or they found out his Achilles is really bad.
I mean, maybe Michael Penix looks really good, and they're like, see, we should have drafted him. But then you still paid Kirk Cousins $90 million. You could have used that to build around Penix. Like, in no scenario does it come out looking great for you guys.
Dave Gettleman, can we Photoshop Dave Gettleman's head on Bill Belichick's body at Chick-fil-A in Atlanta?
Just makes no freaking sense. Complete. I don't even know what to make.
I feel bad for Falcons fans. They were so excited, and we were even saying there's too much hype here. We were already selling the team, and now it just, you hear the responses,
and you pissed off his agent. It's just, what a horrible way to start the Kirk Cousins era.
If you listen to that Twitter Spaces audio, it sounds like there was a 911 call of like someone, like a house being slaughtered.
Oh, that's great. All right. Switching gears here, talking a little NBA. We got a nice three game slate here. First up, you got the Bucks catching 6.5 at the Indiana Pacers. Interesting here. Bucks, I mean, Pacers, the number feels a hair high, but I don't know if I can take the Bucks, especially on the road. They're 3-8 at ATS as a road dog. I mean, to me, the most scary thing about taking the Bucks on the road, obviously, it seems like Giannis isn't going to play. He's listed as doubtful. Line suggests he's not going to play, but Doc Rivers complaining about everything they do on the road being wrong and how they're not professional, even calling out like some of the staff not doing things right the way they should. I think Halliburton has a bounce back game now that they're at home. He hasn't shot great the first couple nights, and Spicy P averaged 36.5 points per game in the first two. I think the number's a hair big, but I think you gotta take Pacers here. Scott, how say you?
Yeah, I kind of am on the same page here. Part of the reason why the line is so high is because of the fact that in addition to Giannis being ruled out, he's officially out. He's not going to play in this game. Is Middleton, who also got injured, and now he's questionable for the game. So
looks bad.
I'm not sure how long Middleton's going to play for, if he's going to play at all, but he hurt his ankle and I believe he skipped shoot around. So the point is, that could be a reason why Milwaukee looked very old in game two. Indiana made some adjustments. They played a lot more up tempo, and they were even full court pressing in that fourth quarter, and Milwaukee had a hard time with it. They had a hard time even crossing half quarters, getting into their sets late. It felt like Indiana realized what they had to do in order to get the job done in game two, kind of reassert their overall identity, and they were able to do so in the game. The problem I have with Milwaukee is that, assuming Middleton's banged up and with Giannis being out, I'm not sure how many great scoring options they actually have on this team when you go through the depth, because Lillard's been great in the first half of these games.
Yeah.
Completely no-showed after halftime in both these games. Middleton is banged up, and you're going down the line here, and I'm not really sure who else has stepped up for them in the series. I like Bobby Portis. I think he's a good player. I don't know how many points you can consistently expect from Bobby Portis, probably in that 15 to like 18 range, give or take. So you're going to need a bit more than that. As for Indiana, Siakam's been unguardable. He's averaging 36.5 points per game. Halliburton really hasn't done much shooting-wise. He had a couple of threes at the end of game two, but they've been winning anyway. It just felt like Indiana was able to inject pace into the game. They were able to play it at their own speed. And they're also really good at home. And that kind of resulted in some comments by Halliburton in the post game. You could argue that maybe he shouldn't be running his mouth.
Yeah.
Since Siakam's carried the entire team up to this point. But he basically said, we've had better regular season crowds in Indiana than we had in the first two playoff games in Milwaukee, which is a serious shot. Part of it also might be because of the fact that his brother was subject to some racial slurs in the actual stands in that. But he also went to Oshkosh, so he's from Milwaukee. He's from the Wisconsin area. So the point is, I think that you can make the argument maybe he shouldn't be saying anything. Maybe he should, because it'll get the crowd extra amped up. But
yeah,
I like Indiana at home. It's going to be a solid atmosphere. Milwaukee has not been that great on the road, and yeah, you're looking at Milwaukee just not having a lot of great scoring options in general. So I'm going to lean to Indiana in this one, but I can understand why it might seem a little bit high, but I like what I saw in game two. I think it carries over in game three.
Yeah, I mean, I got Pacers for the series. I'm feeling, knock on wood, in a decent spot. Kramer, what do you
think?
Can
I give me a little donkey?
Okay.
It's Dominic the Donkey.
Everyone's on the Pacers.
Going contrarian, right?
No, I'm on the Pacers because this is the give up game for the Bucks. And weird start time. not many fan bases would be in their seats for a 5:30 local time. Maybe it's 4:30 local. Is no, Indiana it's East 5:30. Right? 5:30.
It's 4:30 Milwaukee time though.
4:30 Milwaukee time. 5:30 local time, and not many fan bases are in their seats at that. LA, they would miss the whole game.
Yeah. It's Indiana though. I feel Indiana like Indiana will get be out there early.
Oh, 100%. I think they probably canceled classes and jobs got out early. They claim to like it means more up there basketball. Yeah.
It just means
lay the big number.
Yeah, no, it's chalky, but Pacers should, and Pacers team total. I think if you're worried about Milwaukee, maybe backdoor and Pacers team total, I think is pretty reasonable as well. Next up, we got the LA Clippers catching 4.5 in Dallas. Scott, we saw the return of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's back. Seemed to not be great for them. It doesn't seem like his knee is 100%. I don't know. I like, again, I'm going chalky here with a lot of this Friday stuff. I think the Mavs are a better team, and I think Luka, while he's put up points, he hasn't had a super efficient game, which I think he's due for here at home against the Clippers. Although Clippers, they're kind of interesting, similar vibe to the Chargers, where they don't have any home court advantage, so maybe they're undervalued on the road. How say you, Scott? What do you make of this Clippers Mavs game?
Yeah, I feel like the series itself has been a very ugly series in general,
yeah.
Where the offenses have really not done much and the game's been played in the half court. A lot of physicality, not many foul calls. But I think for that reason, I'm going to go with the under in this game, just based on how it's played. Usually, one team can make an adjustment to play faster if things don't go well. Orlando, for example, in game three at home, they scored 120 plus points. You saw the Pacers in game two play a lot faster. I don't know if either team wants to play faster because the Clippers dominated game one. They definitely could have won game two. And Dallas, you could argue, maybe figured something out playing slow in game two. So I'm not sure either team wants to play fast. Luka, we know, is going to try to thrive in the half court. And the Clippers are the same way with Harden and a lot of older guys. So I like the under in this game. I think you're going to see another physical, grinded out type of game where first team to 100 wins if any team reaches 100. But I like the under in this game. Now, as for the actual side, it's really tricky because you expect Dallas to play better at home, but I really have not seen much to separate these two teams so far in the series. And Luka can have a monster game, which is always a possibility. You mentioned it. He has not been that efficient so far in the series. Kyrie's been okay. Do I like their supporting cast? No, not really. Tim Hardaway Jr. got injured too. That's one less guy potentially to worry about. I'm not a Hardaway Jr. guy anyway, but at least he's a threat to shoot from the outside. And he's officially ruled out for this game. I think for this one, I just like the total, to be honest. Kind of a cop-out. Maybe if you want to go for the team that you do expect to win by 1-10, just a close game where one team kind of grinds it out and finds a way to win. I don't see one team blowing the other one out, though. I see a close matchup, but I think you're looking at a spot where if I had to lean anywhere, I'd lean Dallas. I'd rather take the under. These games have been very ugly, very physical, not very efficient. And both teams supporting cast wise have really not been great in the series. So I'll go with the under at about 212.5.
That's like when you ask the sommelier for a wine, they don't have it, but it comes back equipped to give you four other options on what you can do.
Great variance.
I just fired on the under
menu.
I just fired on the under. It's a compelling case.
You turn into a totals guy now, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I'm just getting my backing of Dallas also out of the way.
So. That's true. Yeah, you don't want to. Dallas sucks, but I'll stick with just the Mavs laying the points. I see the case for an ugly game. I don't know why the Clippers got away from Zubac. He was like a nightmare for the Mavs in game one. I don't know why he got less minutes, but yeah, I'll take Jason Kidd. I think isn't as good of a coach as Ty Lue, but I still think with Kawhi, they're gonna force themselves to play Kawhi because it's Kawhi Leonard. But I don't think he's 100%. I almost. In a weird way, I think they are better without him on the court, at least this version of
it. It's almost like they just brought him back cold. Like he hadn't practiced in months.
I mean, the Kawhi, the Clippers, it's just such a nightmare, the entire organization.
Didn't they just announce he hadn't practiced in like a very long time and then he just shows up for the game? Yeah, and then you come back
in like a physical playoff game. Maybe his knee gets right, but again, it's a knee. It's just it's.
I heard there's fluid. You know, he's gotta sit out for another couple of weeks.
Minnesota Timberwolves head down to Phoenix here, catching 5 points in Phoenix. Of course, they're off to a 2-0 start. You have a desperate Suns team at home. But then you got a young T-Wolves team, maybe feeling a little fat and happy. Suns were in that game, the second one at least. They were up like middle, late third quarter, kind of blew the game. Durant, Booker haven't done much offensively. I mean, you know, Booker led the team in points in game two with only 20. Is this a bounce back game for the Suns here, Scott, or are they cooked?
Yeah, I kind of hate this damn team. I know. I gave them out initially to win the series, yes, but it was mostly because I didn't trust either team.
Yeah.
Phoenix have been a low one all year in general, and I just thought that they were a bad matchup for Minnesota to deal with. So it's kind of a matchup handicap, which has aged horribly, but we'll see what happens. Technically, yeah. Suns and six still alive, so stay tuned.
Yes.
Might not last that much longer. I think I'm going to go with Suns first half in this game. They're one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the entire league, so I really don't want to back them for an entire 48 minutes. They have been really bad closing games, which is insane to think about with Booker and with Beal and with Durant on the same roster that they can't close games. I'll give me the first half. It's kind of a well-known trend. Teams down 2-0 returning home tend to do very well in the first half. Yes, the odds makers have kind of accounted for it recently, but it went 2-1 yesterday. But I do think Phoenix has to show some urgency if they're going to even have a shot at this. I don't see Phoenix coming from behind. I think you're looking at a team that's been known to kind of quit when things don't go well. We saw them get blown out on their home floor in back-to-back playoffs. Not a good look for them, but I think for the first 24 minutes, they'll come out, they'll be firing, and I think they'll look sharper. Role players might play better at home. You hear that saying all the time. Give me the Suns first half, though, around -2.5. I just think if they're going to make this game interesting, they're going to have to come out first 24, pedal to the metal. And then after that, if they choke, not my problem. I'd rather worry about them in the first 24 minutes.
Once again, love the angle here.
I like it too.
It just dawned on me.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Durant, he's surrounded by losers. He's just a loser, right? He's only won with winners.
Yeah, I mean,
he's lost everywhere else.
He doesn't have the best energy or body language, I would say, as a guy who's won a decent amount of games, but yeah.
This team is trash. I will say, as zooming in right to the playoffs and feeling like optimistic about the Suns based on a couple games at the end of the season, they are shit.
Yeah,
there is no heart, no dog on that court. Kevin Durant is a pussy.
Definitely some small dog energy.
I mean, say what you will about LeBron.
I'll take the Suns laying the points in a bounce back spot because it's weird. I have the same feelings as Scott when the playoffs are coming. I'm like, you know what? I've been saying the entire time I'm going to fade the Suns in the playoffs. They don't have a playoff minded team.
They're soft.
And then they match up against the T-Wolves. Cat was coming back. Maybe that's going to offset them. They just needed to steal
the regular season.
Yeah,
they wins by 10 plus.
Yeah, they had owned them in the regular season. Cat's coming back. They just need to steal one of those first two, and they had a chance to steal game two. They didn't. I don't know.
Must win game.
It's a desperate situation. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Yep. I think the Suns.
I was gonna get into a tangent. We can move on though.
Next up, we got the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Orlando Magic. This one again was I like the Magic for the series at the plus price. Obviously, not off to a great start. Their offense looked horrible on the road, but then massive bounce back game in game three. You know, maybe the Cavs realize, hey, we just need to get one down here in Orlando, or maybe Orlando, you know, at home, they've been great at home as a home favorite. Scott, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm going to lean to Orlando in this one as well. What was the number that you had?
Two point favorites.
I'll take Orlando in that one. This seems so much better at home than on the road. Going into the series, I believe I had Orlando in seven, which is kind of a hot take that involves them winning a road game seven. But the point is, I expected a very long series.
Yeah.
And I was not going to immediately hit the panic button if Cleveland ended up beating an inexperienced playoff team in the first two games at home. Orlando kind of figured it out. Now, you could argue that it wasn't a coincidence that they brought on Scott Foster, the series extender, for game three, and Orlando won by about 40 points. But I do think that Orlando definitely kind of fed off of the crowd's energy. And Cleveland completely no-showed the game. I'm still really annoyed that I lost the under in that game. 201.5, eight points in the final 48 seconds, a meaningless three-pointer with 19 seconds left to lose. That's what happens when you bring out the scrubs and they're all trying to get playoff points. Nobody really starts guarding anybody for the last couple minutes. But I lost that under. I still like the under. I'm not going to suddenly overreact because Orlando scored 121 points. Cleveland scored what they score 83
yeah.
in that game. I'm not going to overreact. It was an unfortunate loss there for the under, but I'm still 2-1 with it. I'll run it back. The under is going to be my favorite play into this matchup, but I do like Orlando. I think it's going to be a long series. I had 7 going in. So give me Orlando and give me the under.
Yeah, I'll go Orlando. And also worth noting, this is the early start time, or at least relatively early, 1 o'clock East, 10 a.m. I mean, yeah,
It's Cavaliers magic.
Yeah, they gotta put it on the NBA now. Which they're dumping it on here because they don't think it's gonna be. There's no offensive excitement, but the matchup's pretty interesting. I don't know. We'll see. I do like Orlando to even it up here too.
Oh, I mean, is Orlando a crowd that's going to get there at the weird time
at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, what are we handicapping?
They got a tasting over at the Epcot Center. I don't know.
So I do have family that lives in the area, and they take in basketball games from time to time. And it does seem like the fan base has ballooned in the recent months. So I'm wondering how many of them are going to be getting to that that tip right there, middle of the day. Give me the Cavs.
Cavs. Yeah. All right, Ryan.
I'm not going to overreact. I heard Scott say that 3 times. I'm not going to overreact. This Magic team's worst pick I had on the NBA show. Wish I should have listened to someone.
Oh, come on. There's still plenty of time for Orlando to pull this out.
This is the classic. They dumped the Gatorade after game 3. Dominant performance. Overreaction time.
Hey, Ryan, whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being, proper recovery for top-notch performance. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Unified Healing. That's right. They're sponsoring this episode of the NBA playoff picks and NBA playoffs. You need to be at your best physically, mentally. Makes sense why they're sponsoring it. Hopefully NBA players are listening, getting inspired by Unified Healing. Unified Healing is a new super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, aka EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is both easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Kramer, got some good games here on Saturday, starting with the Oklahoma City Thunder at the New Orleans Pelicans. This is interesting. I was all over the Thunder game 2, felt like, hey, they survived the Pelicans' best shot. They are the better team. They were at home. They're going to cruise. But now this is again, noon tip here, West Coast time, afternoon game. Pelicans I think you're going to get the best shot of the series from the Pelicans here. The question is the Pelicans' best shot good enough to win this game? Brandon Ingram hasn't looked great here first couple of games, but the Thunder inexperienced, don't have a lot of playoff experience. I could see them maybe feeling themselves a little bit here. I'm kind of intrigued by the Pelicans, but Scott, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean to OKC in this one. If you want New Orleans, maybe the first half, but the problem I run into with this New Orleans team is kind of twofold. One, I don't like their star players.
Yeah.
Zion being injured, I've never been a McCollum guy. I've never been an Ingram guy. And Ingram's been abysmal in the series. Dort's had him in the torture chamber, and he's really not been very good. But you're looking at the other issue I have with this team. I think the Pelicans are a dumb basketball team. I just think that they make a lot of self-inflicted mistakes, and they turn the ball over a bunch. The overall sets aren't that great. Defensively, they were terrible in game 2. They couldn't stop anybody. They switched to a zone midway through that game, which worked for a little while. And then, of course, Oklahoma City and NBA team figured it out, and they were able to blow the game open again. I don't know what the Pelicans actually do well at. They're a good rebounding team for this matchup, but Valanciunas can't guard anybody on the perimeter, and Larry Nance Jr. is not a great offensive player by any means. So their big men are flawed, so that's the one area they can dominate in. They won game 1 because it was very ugly, and Oklahoma City shot the ball terribly. But Oklahoma City is a pretty solid outside shooting team. They have the best player on the floor by a mile. They have probably the second best player on the floor too, because Chet's been incredible in the series as well. I don't know what there really is to like about New Orleans. You're looking at a weird start time, so I'm not sure if the crowd's going to be fully into it or not. The draft was, you know, yesterday, first round. Are they back to the Saints fandom? Is it a basketball town still? I don't know. But the point is, I think you're looking at a spot where the Thunder are the better team, obviously. It's a 1-8. If Zion was playing, I would definitely think New Orleans had a better chance at winning a couple of games in the series. But watching the Pelicans play, I just don't like what I see from this team. It doesn't seem like they are able to play a full 48 minutes. They make a lot of dumb mistakes, both offensively and defensively. If the game's close, give me Shea over Ingram and McCollum. So I'll go with Oklahoma City.
Ingram also very soft, very, very soft. And I've said this repeatedly. I'm shocked at how much Chet Holmgren has turned into like a fucking useful NBA player
too. Yeah.
What do you call him? Sean Bradley?
I'll take credit for that. That's a good line. I thought he was going to be Sean Bradley 2.0, but man, he's got some fire in him.
Yeah, this is Scott nailed my handicap, which is the this early start time. This is not Indiana we're talking about.
I hear what you guys are saying. I think the early start time does help the Pelicans. Imagine this. You're the Thunder. You have some young stars. Oh, hey, it's a Friday night. We can go out on Bourbon Street. No, have a couple of those hurricanes. Next thing you know, insane hangover.
Not Chet. He's locked in.
Chet SGA. I think the Pelicans.
You saw that commercial.
I think they pull one game out of their ass, and it's this game. So I actually am taking the Pelicans.
I also heard Scott say something useful. Anyone who plays rec basketball in an organized setting knows the second you have to switch to the zone, you're fucked. So
it's usually not a great sign.
Yeah.
Last game of the Saturday slate, the Celtics lay 9 against the Miami Heat. This was an interesting conversation in our Slack because when the Heat came out 18-1 for the series, I immediately fired on it just because I hate the Celtics and I thought it was fun. And then Scott came in. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't bet it because if they lose game one, it's going to be a crazy price and you're better off holding off. And, I didn't listen to that. I bet it 18-1, but then when the price came out and it was 60-1, I bet it again a little bit just because I thought it's the Miami Heat against the Celtics. They seem to just ugly these series up and they seem to hang around. They got the outright win game two. Now there's a couple different ways you can see this, right? Like Miami is not good at home ATS. They just haven't been good at home in the regular season, but clearly they have another gear that they switched to in the playoffs. I'm taking the Heat and the 9 points. I understand why, you know, the shooting regression, both Miami Heat setting a franchise record or NBA record for play, or I think it was franchise 23 made threes for the Heat's not going to continue, but I still think they can make this game close enough. And I think there's going to be incredible pressure on the Celtics. I don't mind Celtics first quarter, first half. Cause that's when they've been good, but I think late the Celtics might tighten up. You know, Kristaps Porzingis is probably not used to playing in the Boston media whirlwind. That's probably just been crushing him these past couple days. And again, why hasn't Tatum won an NBA ring? There's a little small dog in him. We haven't seen him flip the gear. Now maybe they just shoot lights out and it doesn't matter. That certainly is something that the Celtics have done a bunch of season and won, but I don't know, man. I'm definitely taking Heat and 9 points. Scott, how see you?
Well, I'm going to start off with the 3-point shooting in game two, because you could argue regression is due. And I know Missoula claimed that a lot of the defense was, you know, solid in general. No, it wasn't. I don't know what game you were watching. Miami was wide open on like 80% of those threes. Defense was horrible the entire game. So again, Missoula maybe didn't want to throw his guys under the bus, but you could be somewhat honest and criticize your 3-point defense. I don't know what protecting, and maybe because you mentioned that you think Boston's soft too. Maybe he doesn't want to hurt their feelings. He wants to keep them engaged.
I mean, this is the modern NBA.
It was an awful quote. You know, I thought a lot of the looks were moderately to heavily contested. Are we watching the same game? I thought Miami was wide open on all these 3-pointers. So
yeah,
I argue that maybe involved some shooting luck, but I think the quality of shots were just there. Truth is, this series is really tough to predict because every single time you look at the actual rosters and you look at all the breakdowns, it's always going to favor Boston.
Yeah.
Except Miami has some like devil chaos magic and they find ways to win games. Like, I don't really know how to fully analyze this Boston team because they should win all these games. The fact that they lost a home game is embarrassing by double digits to a Tyler Hero-led Heat team. But we saw this last year.
Yeah.
Like, Mazzulla's a bad coach. The Celtics are soft. I don't know what you want from me in this series. I guess I'm leaning Miami. But it's really tough for me to get down on anything money-related for these games because I don't know what to expect. If Boston chooses to show up and they look sharp, you get the same outcome as game one. If they don't and they once again overlook their opponent or just get outcoached dramatically, they're going to lose to anybody. And we saw that when they lost back-to-back games to the Hawks and they blew a 30-plus point lead in the middle of the regular season. So I guess I'm going to lean to Miami just because they're getting nine and a half. It feels a bit disrespectful. If Boston wins by a lot, would I be shocked? No, but I think Boston is a team that I don't trust. If I don't really trust either team, I'd rather get the points. So I'll lean to Miami to keep it close. I might lean to the under, though, if you are expecting regression or just better defense from Boston into this matchup. And I think that does result in a lower scoring game. So I'll go with the under, but I am going to lean to Miami.
Jaime Jaquez has been a fun for the Heat, especially with Butler out. He's been getting more minutes. Very fun rookie. I really love his game. And it's just fun to see the Celtics lose.
So last year when the Heat came out and stepped on their throat in Boston, winning both games, they came home. And did Boston bounce back in that game? No, they lost because their buttholes are tight. We're back to talking about buttholes on the show.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They went up 3-0
Then
Boston won three in a row. And then
they arguably should have won in six because Derek White had that put back in game six.
Yes.
The point is they were up 3-0.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just in general, you can't overlook softness in the coaching staff, in the team. And clearly this rattles the fan base. That's where you really get fucked.
Well,
because Miami fans will sense this. And guess what? They'll be there on time. They feel like they have hope now. They're like, it's happening.
They probably won't leave early because there's been so many comebacks. It won't be like the NBA trying to, that's an all time. You can't take your town seriously sports moment where they're trying to come back to the finals game. Let us back in.
You can't get locked out.
Let us back in.
I like the under too. That's fun.
Yeah. So under and the Heat plus the points. This is certainly, I was going to say maybe something you want to bet live if they get down, but I don't even know. It might not be that.
This could be a bloodbath.
Well, it might not be that advantageous because the fact that they're 9-point dogs, you're probably not going to get a great price until they get down like serious money. And then maybe the game's out of hand. But I mean, I just don't know where this Boston playoff confidence is coming from. I'm super skeptical of them still.
It is fun.
What was the number though? They're like 13-13 in their last 26 home playoff games or like something absurd.
Yeah. I think that's like the another one I saw was something around the idea of like, they were 55% straight up as a home favorite in the NBA playoffs where like most other teams are 76% or more, you know, it's crazy. So
when they were probably implied odds of greater than 76% or more in a lot of those.
Oh yeah.
Games. I can't even blame it on Mazzulla though. Cause I went back to Udoka too.
Yeah.
That wasn't even like a coaching thing. That's definitely a roster thing.
Seems like there could be some rot in the building.
Yep.
You know what it is? It's this entitled New England sports fan. they just think they're going to win. And now it's fuck a you.
We're back, fucking wheel,
we're
man.
Back, we're back to before the pink Boston Red Sox hands. Yep. Hats.
Love the Patriots. Well, you got to support Drake May now.
Yep. So
we'll see. What's your take on the quarterback situation? Who do you think, Drake May is going to work in New England, Scott?
I don't know if he's ready in his first year. The truth is a lot of quarterback struggles or even successes in the NFL depend on the actual environment you're in and how well the team is set up around you. New England's got nothing offensively. There is a terrible offense in general. So people have also kind of been critical of Kraft recently for being cheap. And when he does spend money, he invests in a bunch of tight ends and it overpays for like Devontae Parker and company. Like,
Spending spree was like comical.
Wasn't Belichick.
Yeah. It's like Nelson Aguilar. Like they spent a ton of money in free agency.
Juju. It's like, I don't really know what they do to help young quarterbacks succeed.
Yeah.
So I'm not that high on Drake May. Maybe I'm also biased because the only North Carolina quarterback out of recent memory was Trubisky and he turned out to be an all-time bust. But I think you're looking at a spot where I think May's talented, I think he's going to get his ass kicked in New England. It's not the same exact thing as Bryce Young, who had no chance in Carolina anyway. But if New England's not going to surround him with anybody, and they're probably going to play him his first year, unless you use who Brissett for the first year and you let May sit, that means Brissett's probably sitting for what, a month and a half before the fan base riots and you get May in there.
Yeah,
it's probably not going to go well.
Well, they need some May reason
to play, and I think it's going to be a problem because the rest of the division's good. You might be low on the Jets, but that defense is still good. Miami, and I know Buffalo's going to take a step back, but New England's clearly the worst team in that division by a wide margin. They might win four games. They're going to be really, really bad. I think May's going to get killed if he plays his first season.
And the best part is the Patriots fan base having to listen to a guy that sounds just like Eli Manning. He sounds just like Eli Manning. It's great. Unclear what's going to happen with this Patriots guy. Because who's developing this quarterback that needs development?
Gerard Mayo? I don't know. Skeptical. Yeah. Last game of Saturday night, we got the Denver Nuggets laying three in LA. Nuggets just own the Lakers. Yep. It's just that simple.
Yep.
I don't know why it was a pick game three. And these games are very
due.
Yeah.
They lost 10 straight. They were due. Come on.
I know. It's like a roulette wheel. It's a guy. Yeah, guys. No, actually it isn't a 50-50 proposition. This team just has this team figured out. And it's comical because the Lakers keep winning the first half, and then the Nuggets are like, oh, yeah, well, we'll just beat in the second half. Like, the Nuggets didn't even shoot that well from three. Like, they just are a better team. They are outmatched, and LeBron, I think, might get swept again.
I heard Scott Van Pelt were like, it's like UConn. You know, you feel like you're in the game. Next thing you know, you're down 8 points, and you have no idea what happened. Also, did you see the press conference? The video clip made some rounds, but LeBron basically just saying it's just basketball.
Well,
when
he was calling out the replay center, I go, oh, okay, gotta fade him game three. This is not winner mentality when you're, why do we even have a replay center? And I think Scott was the one that tweeted out the free throw differential, and the Lakers have a comical advantage of that. So Scott, I don't know. I mean, taking the Lakers and the points feels way too cute here. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think the free throw differential, by the way, was for the last two seasons, including the playoffs, the Lakers' free throw differential is plus 1,100, which
insane.
Is like three times more than any other team. So that was kind of why I tweeted it out. I just thought the free throw differential was worth mentioning.
Yeah,
if there's any team that should not be complaining about calls, it's probably the Lakers. Just going to throw it out there. For the sake of this matchup, the question is, do you think the Lakers actually show up for a half again, or do they roll over? Because I feel like the cute play is the Lakers' first half again. For game three, I had Lakers first half, Nuggets full game on the premise of I've seen this movie before, and it was plus 420. So that worked out pretty well for me. The point is, though, for the sake of the matchup, we saw the same thing happen last year. It was 3-0, and then LeBron went nuts in the first half, and they lost the game anyway in the exact same script. They were up at halftime, and they fell apart. I think I just got to lean Denver in this one. There was a lot of quit in the final 3 minutes of that game in game three.
Yes.
And D'Lo is sitting on the sidelines and nowhere near the huddle, and he had 0 points. Why the hell are you of all people not sitting with the team?
Yeah,
like I don't like it's one. You're one of the reasons why they lost. I don't know why you're pouting on the side. You sucked yesterday. You had 0 points. You pulled a Klay Thompson. Like I don't know what you want me to tell you, but it just seems like the Lakers are at each other's throats right now. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of just overall lack of decisiveness from Darvin Ham, who's guaranteed to get fired once they lose the series. Yeah. And I know he's a bad coach. The roster construction's not good either. You're giving Dimwitty minutes. Gabe Vincent's getting minutes. Go down the line. You're relying on Torian Prince. You're relying on Reeves, who's been terrible this entire series.
Yeah, it's like Austin
good for one game.
It's like Austin Reeves isn't showing up. Yeah, well, did you expect him to show up? Like, what? To your point,
he was good last year in the playoffs. But
yeah,
they paid
that's
him a
true.
Bunch of money. It hasn't been that great, but you're looking at the Lakers supporting cast. Rui's been terrible. Who's been good?
Yeah.
In this entire supporting cast, and the Nuggets have been doubling down on the minutes for Murray and for Joker. I know Reggie Jackson got injured in Game Three. He wasn't going to play much anyway. But you're just going down the line, and the Lakers have to rely on 39-year-old LeBron and older Anthony Davis, who we know can be a little bit fragile and soft, if you want to use that term again, kind of the buzzword for the episode. They have to play 42 plus minutes per game just to have a shot to even be close in these games. And everyone's being mad at Anthony Davis and LeBron for no showing fourth quarters. It's because they're exhausted.
Yeah.
They have to play every minute of the game to even hang, be competitive. And Denver just waits around. They hang in there, keep the game competitive. And then once the Lakers start getting tired and once they start making mental mistakes, the Nuggets jump on them. It's been the same story for 2 years. Yeah. I don't see it changing. Maybe the Lakers show up for a half again, but this team does not play a full 48 minutes. And Denver is going to get better shots than you down the stretch in crunch time. They're just going to. So if I don't like the supporting cast for the Lakers and I question the overall fitness of their two best players to play 42, 45 minutes of effective basketball, I'm not going to pick you to win games. Give me Denver to sweep because they've won 11 straight.
About to hit my sweep bet. That's going to feel nice. That's like a 15 point dog on a Sunday, Sean. Minutes played in the playoffs. Josh Hart, 133, Maxey, 129, Davis, 126, Brunson, 125, LeBron, 121.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
Joker, 120. I mean, I will say it must piss people off that Joker, looking completely not in shape, is able to just play. It's not easy to play this many minutes in a basketball game.
No, and he's a big guy who always stays healthy. And again, like his shots and like what he does, it just looks unconventional. Unorthodox is a great word for it. Cause so many times he puts up a shot and you're like, that's not going in. And then you're like, oh wait, it's going to go in.
It's the YMCA wiggle, you know?
Yeah. Coming back to effort, like Aaron Gordon getting 15 rebounds. Some of that is on the Lakers, not boxing out Aaron Gordon.
He had so many easy buckets under the basket too, that they took it. Just watching a little of that game, they took so long to adjust to these basic ass cuts. And yeah, Joker's just too good. I mean, you watch the Nuggets, and I, you know, my takeaway again as a TMZ fan feels like the Denver Nuggets are more of a lock to me to win the West than the Boston Celtics were coming into the East, which was the inverted view of most people.
Michael Porter getting 10 rebounds. Some of that is on the Lakers.
Great squad though, full team effort. That's why we like Denver.
No, they're just a well balanced team. I mean. The argument is maybe they're slightly thin, but as long as Murray's healthy,
yeah, they want to rest for three. Think about Joker, his pumping up his team. About hey guys, you want to not play for a little bit? Let's get a week off.
Certainly, yeah, he might be able to fly back.
Hey, it's just basketball. Horse action.
A last game that we got odds for.
You think Joker's into the digital horses?
I'm sure we can sell him on it. He loves horses.
Yeah.
And minions, horses and minions.
Love that.
Him so looking much. Like Gru is pretty funny.
Doesn't it feel like the Nuggets are kind of just like trolling the Lakers at this point?
Yeah.
I understand they've gone down in the first half of all these games. It feels like they're giving like 60% effort and overall care. Like we just beat this team. We know they're not any good. We're just going to take care of business. But from quotes from Malone and from all these other quotes, it's just like, oh no, we know we're going to win. The question is like, how do we want to win this time?
Yeah.
And it's a psychological thing. The Lakers every game have gone up. And when a run starts to happen, maybe late second quarter, early third quarter, it has to snowball mentally for the Lakers because I mean, the Nuggets are just their boogeyman. They just can't beat them. Simply put, it's been 11 straight. I just think if you're going to pick the Lakers, it's got to be early because you don't trust this team to maintain mental focus and to make proper adjustments. I saw the fourth quarter yesterday had Gabe Vincent and Dinwiddie on the court together. They're on the verge of going down 3-0. They're starting the quarter with Dinwiddie and Vincent on the court together. There's just not much to like about the Lakers. And I wonder if LeBron will have his bags packed for a lick Cancun in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Who knows? It's just basketball. Bigger things to fry in life. LeBron's got bigger fish to fry. Got to help build the bunker in Hawaii with Oprah.
Yeah. All right. Last game of the slate. We got the New York Knicks catching 5 points in Philadelphia. Of course, I'm taking my Sixers. They should have got one of those first two games. They didn't. They rebounded and beat at a 50-point game. They're going to roll here once again. Scott, am I right, or do the Knicks close this out and make it a nail biter here?
I'm gonna go with the Sixers in this one. Nice. I have Sixers in Game 3. It feels like it's gonna be a long series anyway.
Yeah.
Embiid probably should have been ejected. No offense.
What
happened there?
Yeah.
Robinson's in a boot now and he can't move, so he's probably gonna miss the rest of the series.
How now is the Knicks? Don't so he's not. Wait, hold on. He's not getting suspended for that.
I don't think so.
Wow.
Don't attack a victim of Bell palsy.
That's send him. He has Bell's palsy. Come
yeah,
on.
Come on.
Suspend the guy.
It's clear. I mean,
but I don't even know what that is, but it just shows
he clearly wasn't playing basketball at that point. That's crazy.
Nah, come on.
Do you mean the dirty plays, or do you mean him flopping on the floor for 21 free throws? Which part are you complaining about?
I mean, the flopping is bad, but once you've already flopped and then you're going to try to like twist some guy's ankle down like an MMA fighter?
Yeah, come on.
Leg locks aren't legal in the octagon.
Yeah. Hey, it's physical. It's playoff basketball, right?
But of all,
Embiid didn't hear a tap, so he kind of just held on to
it. Yeah, come on.
Of all people, maybe to not go out of their way to hurt someone. If I'm just getting whoever, 15th man on the, off the bench, I'm sending him in for 1 minute.
Well, you get these
right out at the side of his knee, slice that ACL.
You get these, fucking bead chants going. Maybe the guy's going to, chirp back a little bit.
I don't typically cheer when players get injured, but I will cheer when Embiid gets injured.
Oh wow!
I will stand up and
Ryan,
applaud.
Real rooter of injuries, Kramer.
Just Embiid.
Oh okay.
Just that's Embiid. Mean. Yep.
Scott, why?
I'm looking only into Philly though. Yeah. Embiid at 50. Robinson's injured now. What's the Knicks move? You promote Jericho Sims and you start giving him some minutes. Like they don't have any front court depth. The problem is Hardenstein. I like, but he got into foul trouble pretty early, and that's an issue when you're guarding Embiid because he's going to manipulate officiating. And if he gets into foul trouble, I don't think the Knicks have many great options besides him. Now he had 50 points, did whatever he wanted in that game. Maxey was okay, but the supporting cast stepped up. Cameron Payne especially was randomly really good. We had a Cameron Payne, Payne game, which nobody was expecting. Brunson was good too, though. He had 39 and 13, so they kind of showed up for the same game there. I'm gonna lean Philly though. This has the makings of a 7-game series. And I think that going into the series, I was going to lean to the home team to win every game. That's where we're at right now. I think it was 30-1. I didn't like the price, but that was kind of my main thought for the series script. I'm going to stick with it. Give me Philly to win game 4. I think they win this game by about 10, kind of the same story as game 3. But the lack of front court depth for the Knicks is a serious problem because Robinson, despite being the backup, was giving them pretty good minutes off the bench, at least for energy and for rim protection. That's a massive loss. I think it's a big deal. I'm going to lean to Philly in this game.
I am coaching every player when we're rebounding, we're making sure to get all the way up under Embiid's shoes. We want to be right under the basket. Make sure when he lands, he might have a nice soft cushion.
Are you saying that you're going to sign Zaza Pachulia out of retirement?
Whatever it takes.
Wow, that's a deep pull.
I was a big Zaza guy back in my fantasy basketball days. Give me the points. Series starts Sunday.
Kramer, I'm sorry. Sixers is going to win. They're going to roll. Like Scott said, I mean, these are the two biggest TV markets.
Embiid's going down. No, he built some.
Oh, he's going down like 15 times in this game. He's just going to get.
He does. Yeah, he's just
how it goes.
He always falls down and then looks all creaky getting back up, and he's
fine. I want to ask you a question though about Embiid, because even though you are rooting for the Sixers and it's good for your team, I'm assuming Embiid's one of those guys that you love to have on your team but hate to be against. Do you actually like him watching Embiid play basketball?
No, he doesn't.
I'm just curious. You can be in the middle and say I enjoy winning, but do you actually enjoy watching him play basketball?
I enjoy aspects of his game. I don't enjoy when he sits back at the 3-point line.
I gotta write that down. That's a great. I enjoy aspects of his game.
It was okay, cool. It's an ultimate compliment.
No, but with extra steps. Okay, cool.
I do like his post play. I do think he settles for threes too much, and I don't like the constant falling down offensively and defensively and like, trying to draw fouls sometimes, but him in the paint, like his post moves, some of those are like old school centers that remind me. And that to me is the most fun part of his game. So
he's got great footwork. I agree with you though about his, I'm not denying his talent. He won the MVP. I think he deserved the MVP. He's a phenomenal player. I hate watching him play basketball, but I feel like that's a pretty common, I'd say, opinion. It was 50 points on what, 19 shots. I mean, it was a free throw contest for most of the game. But
hey, look out. More attempts at the line, Ryan. That's what we need.
Oh, I took Philly in game 3, so I enjoyed it. It was just a takeaway.
Excited to see Embiid's next attempt to get inside the octagon, do a little jujitsu.
Oh, man. Yeah. Herschel Walker was a MMA guy randomly, Ryan. Embiid.
Yeah, a little crazy.
Probably there, probably too big of a frame, but certainly has a crazy reach.
Oh, he had a nice takedown the other night. That's crazy to me in the NBA of all leagues that that's not turning into some.
Come on, he grabbed his foot. Let's not make
I just don't know what the difference is between a flagrant one and a flagrant two. If that's a one,
that's
a boot. What more do you need for a two?
That's true. I mean, if I'm the Knicks, I'm like, well, what? Like, this is actually intentful. He's trying to injure him. He does injure him, and you don't suspend him. But if a guy comes off the bench and fucking does a little dance on the court, you gotta get
shout out Dick Puncher saying he took Philly to win the series plus 350 before that game.
We give a fuck what Dick Puncher's up to,
and you can get it now plus 200 still, which feels like a decent value considering their favorite here.
At that point, 200 feels large. The argument is the Knicks are still up a home game with home court advantage. If Philly wins this game, it might be minus 110 apiece. I think Philly's alive to win the series. I mean, I did initially. I have the Knicks in seven. You could argue they should be up 2-1 or even 3-0 based on how the first two games in New York went. Those weren't easy home games for the Knicks, and I do think that it's going to be a competitive series. I don't mind the plus 200. I'm still going to pick Knicks in seven, but I have seven in the first place, so plus 200 is a pretty solid value play in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Knicks and whatever you want to talk about. Embiid's going down. I mean, I know
he's not going down, Ryan. You're going down. UN Turtle.
I mean, it's if there's any honor in the game of basketball, someone's going to take him out.
All right, let's close.
Did he apologize at least?
What's he going to apologize for? It's a physical game.
In the load management era of basketball, you think there's honor? Really?
Well, that's exactly. My point. On, how is Scott this not a suspension? It's a soft league now. He actually, I mean, in watching it real time, I said, oh, he has to be suspended now.
He's not suspended. He's playing game four. They're going to roll. They're going to cover. He's going to get the win. Scott, what do you like as your lock and a dog here for this slate?
All right. So my lock for the show, we covered a lot of games here.
Yeah.
For the lock, let me just quickly see if I prefer anything on the Thursday or Friday slate, because a decent amount I like. I think for the sake of this matchup, though, I mean, I do like that Cleveland Orlando under again, but I got burned in game three, so I'm still a bit salty. I think I'm going to skip the actual Friday slate. I think I like the Saturday slate more. For my lock, I'm going to go with, I'm going to save the Denver play for my dog. I'm going to go with Orlando minus the two. I think home court matters a lot in the series, and it seemed like Orlando figured stuff out. They're playing a lot better defense. They were solid offensively in that game. I think that Cleveland and Orlando is destined for seven. That's kind of how I look at the series, and I think you're going to end up seeing a competitive seven-game series because of it. Maybe not the individual games, but the ebbs and flows. I'm going to go Orlando minus two. I like what I saw. Not totally overreacting to what I saw in game three, but I was very impressed at how Orlando responded to the adversity, and I think the crowd definitely helps. So give me Orlando minus the two as my lock. Ugly game, but I think Orlando offensively might have figured some stuff out, which will help them in this game. For my dog, I can either go with Denver to potentially win on an alt line. I can go with Lakers first half, Denver full game again. That's an option too. Maybe just Embiid 30, 35 plus in a Philly win. I mean, that's an option too, if I want to go with that. I'm going to stick with the overall theme of the 11 game series between these two teams. Give me the Lakers first half, Nuggets full game.
It was
plus 420 in game three. I don't have the line in front of me. I can try to pull it up. I think some people said they found 6-1 on that prop yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have a line on it, but I'm going to wait till closer to game time and shop around. Give me Lakers first half, Nuggets full game. I'm not going to fix what isn't broken. It's been a cash cow. It's 3-0 in the series. Let's make it 4-0.
Love it. Yeah, I'm with you, Scott. I'll just go officially with the lock. Denver minus three, but love that angle. Why not keep running it back? It almost seems like the Nuggets are doing the little brother thing. If you're playing like pickup basketball, like, score a couple of baskets, and then it's make it take it in the second half, and they're just running all over you.
It's a rope-a-dope thing. It's like a Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. It's no, you're doing well. Like, keep doing what you're doing, and then they just immediately are like, oh, no, you're actually screwed.
That's the best analogy. Like they're letting you run around,
tire yourself out, give all your effort, LeBron, and then we got the second half. I'll also take a sprinkle on the Miami Heat money line. I mean, just their playoff history against this team. How can you not think there's a little value at plus 340, plus 350? So yeah, Heat money line, Nuggets minus three. Although you might be able to get like a 2.5 something there. So that's me, Kramer. What do you got? Lock and dog.
Lock. All right. So I'll you know what, I'll pivot here because both of those could be locks. We'll lock up OKC and we'll make the dog Denver
dog
minus. How far do I want to take this?
Six and a half.
Denver minus 9.5 plus two. No, Denver minus 11. Denver minus 12 plus 330.
Yeah, you were going to bring back the alt threads. I like that in here. And maybe I even
looked. It's just basketball.
Yeah, there it is. It's just basketball. Scott, thanks for calling in to the show. Make sure to check out Scott on the NBA Gambling Podcast, the MLB Gambling Podcast, and the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Scott, when is the next episode of the Tennis Gambling Podcast coming up?
So I'm doing an episode per round for this event. So I had one last night, or technically this morning at like 2 a.m. So I'll be back again in about a day or so. I got baseball though in about 45 minutes.
Oh,
so
I'll be doing
the MLB show.
So yeah, if you're watching live, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast, hop over, subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast. You got Scott, you got Moonoff, you got Malcolm, Dylan, Lante gets in there. Fun group of guys. Appreciate it as always, Scott.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Stack of the Money Green. He's Ryan.
I really can't believe Embiid's not being suspended.
Kramer, let it ride.